And Congress passed a resolution in 1926 for an annual observance, and November the 11th became a national holiday beginning in 1938. And now we celebrate every year Veterans Day. Veterans Day pays tribute to all American veterans, both living and both dead, but especially gives thanks to living veterans who have served or are serving their country during a time of war or a time of peace. In fact, right now in America, there are 18.2 million living veterans. We have a nation of veterans, a nation of men and women that have given their lives, time, energy, and sacrifice to make America free. And I thank God for you. But today, may I say that God loves veterans. Luke chapter number 7, let's begin in verse number 1, if you would please. And I want to show you a great story in the Bible about a man. We know him as the centurion. Now, the centurion was a soldier. He was a veteran. Luke chapter 7, verse number 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Now think of that. Jesus marveled at this man. The idea was he was amazed at him with joy and gladness. He marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. God loves veterans. Now today, I wanted to do something a little different. I wanted to take this little, I guess, memory, this little gift that we have given to all of the veterans here today, and I wanted to use these words because I thought they were so wonderful and they were so appropriate for Veterans Day. First, I want to use the word on here that we find on the very front of the soldier, and it is the word duty. You know something? The soldier lives with the mindset of his duty to his country. In fact, I'm sure that many of you remember the day that you stood, and you stood with no doubt a great severity of heart and mind, and you quoted these words. You quoted your name, I, and you gave your name. Do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to regulations and the uniform code of military justice, so help me God. How many veterans remember the day that you stood and you quoted those words? No doubt to you that was a very special time. Why? Because you were giving forth your duty. Your duty to the American citizen, your duty to follow the orders of the President of the United States, your duty to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. There was a duty that was bound within your heart. And by the way, duty is something that obviously is missing in America today. I thank God for these veterans and for others who have a sense of duty about their duty to God and their duty to their country. In fact, the word duty simply means a moral or a legal obligation. It is responsibility. I think every dad here senses a duty to his children and to his wife. I think every mom here senses a duty that she has to her family and to her husband. And I pray as God's people that we have a great duty to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have a duty in our hearts today. I believe that God has called me to be a preacher of the gospel. And can I tell you something? The Bible says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a duty within my heart, but I want to show you a different kind of duty that God has put upon every man, woman, boy, or girl. And that is a duty to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, please. And I want you to go to John chapter number 3. Now, many of you would know this passage of Scripture, John chapter number 3. As you're turning there, I want you to know that the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 30, it says that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know something, that we live in a great country today. I believe America is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I still believe that. And I thank God to be an American. I thank God for that. But can I tell you, it is because of our veterans that we enjoy the freedom and the blessingness of America. And by the way, I believe as an American citizen that we have a duty to uphold the laws of the land. We have a duty to be respectful and kind. And we have a duty to support our veterans. I believe that's a part of our duty. But do you know something, as part of God's creation, every man and every woman and boy and girl here today was created in the very image of God. God gave you life, physical life. God could have allowed you to have died within your mother's womb, but God gave you life. And we have a duty today. God has commanded us to repent and to turn to Jesus Christ. We are commanded. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Sometimes we think that the ideal of putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ is an obligation, or is simply that we can choose or not choose. And by the way, God has given every one of us a free will. You can choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you can choose to reject Jesus Christ. But folks, we are under a duty by an almighty and a sovereign God to turn to Jesus Christ as our only hope. In fact, John chapter number 3, and if you're there, I want to show you a few verses here. John chapter 3, let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 5. The Bible says this, Jesus answered in John chapter 3, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, now that is a physical birth, and of the Spirit, that is a spiritual birth, we call that the new birth, or being born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, if you go to verse number 14, and the Bible goes on as Jesus is speaking, he says this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Folks, this morning, I do not know your background.
I do not know your life. I do not know all the details of your life, but I do know this, that there is a God in heaven who loves all veterans here today, but He loves each and every one of us. Amen. And that God has commanded each and every one of us to repent. And that simply means that we turn to Jesus Christ. We recognize that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. Now, I think you've seen pictures up here on this video. Obviously, pictures of gravesides. All of us are going to die one day. In fact, veterans are willing to give their life, and many of them have given their life. And we call that Memorial Day, when we remember those that have given their life for our country. But brethren, there is one who gave everything, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He gave everything for you and me. We have a duty. We have a commandment from God to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because He is the only way. So we look at the word duty. But the second word that we find here, and this is found on the very back of the soldier, is the word servant. Now you say, well, Pastor, what does the word servant have to do with the veteran, the soldier? It has everything. In fact, did you know that the word sergeant is taken from the word servant? In fact, the men and women that I have, all of them that I've ever met, can I tell you something? They are servants. They serve our country, but they serve one another. In fact, military values always has the value of the principle that they are to put others before themselves. In fact, do you know something? Our military operates on the basis that no one left behind. They will never leave another soldier left behind. They know where the fallen comrades are, and they will go to their side. Why? They will even willingly give their own life for someone else, because they are servants. Folks, today, do you know that servant leadership isn't about being weak and giving in to what everyone wants? May I tell you? It's about identifying with what people need. Folks, today, slaves do what people want. Servants do what people need. And that is why Jesus Christ is the greatest example of a servant of all. Because the Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 5, or 15, verse number 13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Listen, there are many veterans that have given their own life so that you and I can have freedom today. There are veterans that have given their own life so that their friend could be safe, or their friend could be brought into safety. Listen, that is great love. That is great sacrifice. But there is no greater love and sacrifice than Jesus Christ, who was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to bleed and die for the sins of all mankind so that you and I could have freedom from our sin debt and spend eternity in heaven. Listen, that is true service. You see, there is duty with the American soldier. There is service with the American soldier. But the third phrase that we find is found on the left of the American soldier, and it is this: faith in God. Faith in God. Do you know something, that every one of us here, we have faith in something or someone? I've talked to people before and they say, well, I don't have faith in anything. I believe in myself. Well, the Bible tells us that there is a danger in just believing in ourselves. In fact, the book of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 28, verse 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." Faith. You know something? American soldiers have faith in one another. They believe that one another will watch out for them. That they are a team. They work together. They are comrades. They are friends. They are the best of friends. Why? Because it's how they must live. But brethren, today, where is your faith this morning? Is your faith in God and what God has provided for you? Do you know something this morning, that to say that, well, hey, I just hope I get to heaven, or, you know, I'm trying to do good things to get to heaven, and I've been baptized and I do attend a church, and or I'm a member of a church, and that's good enough for me to go to heaven. Do you know what you're saying? Your faith is in what you can do. Your faith is in what you can accomplish. In fact, would you take your Bibles and let's go to Ephesians chapter number 2, because I want to show you a great passage of Scripture that deals with where our faith is. Now, faith, by the way, you live by faith every single day. You may not know that you live by faith. Do you know that I enjoy the electricity that we have in our building here today? And especially at nighttime, or we wouldn't be able to come to church. But I cannot see physically the wires that run through the trusses of this building. I cannot see those wires connecting to the, to the power source located outside this building. I cannot see those wires connected to the main source. I cannot see them, but I believe by faith when I flip on that switch that there will be light. I have faith in this. I have faith in the morning that as long as there's gasoline in my vehicle and I haven't left the lights on all night or something, that when I push the start button, it's going to start. I have faith in that. We live on the principle of faith every single day. But where is your faith in God? Do you believe that there is a God? In fact, someone said that there are no unbelievers in a foxhole in the time of fire, in the time of war. There are no unbelievers there. Why? Because men and women are calling out to the God who can protect them, the God who can deliver them. Why? Because they need something greater than what they can see. And brethren, today, you have faith in something. If you have faith in yourself and in what you can accomplish and in what you can do, I'm going to tell you something. Your faith will be brought to destruction. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came into this world not to condemn this world, but brethren, He came to this world to bring light so that you and I can know Jesus Christ as our Savior and know that Jesus is the only way. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9, the Bible says this. I love this passage. It says, Ephesians 2, verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." When I was 17 years of age, I was sitting in a church service, just like you're sitting in a church service this morning. And on that day, God began to speak to my heart. Now, not audibly as I'm speaking to you, but God began to talk to me. And I knew that morning that there was a God who loved me. In fact, the Bible tells us so. God's word is true. It's inerrant. And I knew that God's word had said that God loved me. I didn't understand how God could love me, all that I had done wrong and the sin in my heart. But yet, it was true. God loved me. And that morning, God dealt with me. He convicted me about my sin. I was thinking that morning, sitting there in that church service, all the things that I'd done, all the lies I'd told, all the things I had stolen. I knew in my heart that I was a sinner. I knew it. And because of my sin, I knew according to the Bible that my sin had to be paid for. And I knew that the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." In fact, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I knew that if I died in my sins, I would perish. I would spend eternity separated from God forever in a place called hell to pay for my sin debt. Well, that was bad news to me. But then the preacher began to talk about the good news. And the good news was that Jesus Christ, God's own Son, had come to this earth. Listen, He had come out of duty. Do you know that Jesus came for one purpose, and that was to bleed and die on the cross for the sins of all mankind? He came as the greatest servant of all. He willingly gave Himself. Listen, people mocked Him. They ridiculed the Son of God. They spat upon Him as He hung on the cross, and they jeered Him. They said, "If you truly are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Oh, Jesus had power to kill every man, woman that was there that day and to deliver Himself. But He willingly stayed on the cross to provide freedom for you and me. But can I tell you something? Jesus died for you. He died for me. He paid the greatest price of all. And that morning, as I was sitting there as a 17-year-old teenager, I recognized that God loved me and that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. But what was I to do? And by the way, I thought in my mind, well, I'll try to be a good person. I'll try to be better. I'll try to treat my sisters right for once, maybe, you know? I'll try to do some better things, or maybe I'll get baptized or do good things to the church. But there was no other way. There was nothing that I could do. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Folks, today we gave you a gift here this morning, the veterans. We purchased this, we paid for this to give to you out of love and out of appreciation and kindness and gratitude to say, here it is. But folks, God has given you the greatest gift of all. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. He paid for that gift with the precious blood of His own Son. And Jesus died for you and me. And folks, today, if you are willing to pray and to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says, to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know something? That morning, I left my seat, and I came to an old-fashioned altar like we have here today. And I bowed on my knees, and I said, God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I do not deserve to go to heaven. But God, will you save me? Will you give me a home in heaven? I'm going to tell you something, what God did for me that day. He changed my life because he adopted me into the family of God. Oh, listen, I didn't see lights going on and off. I didn't feel funny all over. It wasn't some emotional experience. I took God by faith at His word that He said, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That day, God adopted me into His family. I entered into the family of God. Now, I'm not perfect here today, but I do know this. I do know that my faith is in God. You know what that means? My faith is in what God has accomplished for me by His own Son, Jesus Christ. The fourth and the last final thing that I want to bring you to is found on the other side of this soldier, and that is, in God we trust. Years ago, the story is told about the actress Helen Hayes, a very famous actress. Helen Hayes, it came time for Thanksgiving. And in fact, it was Thanksgiving Day. Her husband and son, they were sitting there waiting for the special turkey dinner. Now, Helen Hayes, a famous actress, very wealthy, had never made a turkey dinner in her whole life. In fact, she had worked on it all day, and it was time to eat. And she looked at her husband, Charles, and her son, James, and she said this. Now, look, I know this is the first turkey that I've ever cooked. If it isn't good, I don't want you to say a word. We'll just get it from the table and go to a restaurant. That's what she said to them. She went back into the kitchen and she was making preparation. She got the turkey. She came into the dining room where they were seated, and they were seated with their hat and their gloves and their coat on, you know? Well, I don't think they trusted what she was going to cook, you know? I think they were ready for the next step. Well, today, folks, in God, I trust. By the way, do you know that years ago in America, and it was right after the Civil War time, that the motto, in God we trust, there was a great group. In fact, it was actually one preacher that sent a letter to the United States of America about that we need to put our trust in the one who has delivered us, the one who has given us freedom. And as a result, Secretary Chase drafted a letter, and he wrote this: Dear sir, no nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in His defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins. This cause will be prepared without delay with a motto expressing in the fewest words possible the national recognition. And it was founded by the Act of Congress on January the 18th, 1837, to prescribe the mottos and that the devices should be placed upon the coins of the United States. In God we trust. Now, there's been lots of people today that want to remove that saying. They want to remove that from everything in America. They don't want to see that. But folks, may I bring your mind in closing back to our story about this centurion. Now, I want you to think just for a moment about this soldier. Now, by the way, the Bible calls him a centurion. Now, that meant that he was a high-ranking officer. In fact, the word century dealt with how many soldiers he had under him. I mean, he had a lot of soldiers that were under his authority. He was a high-ranking officer, no doubt. For many years, he had served the Roman government. This centurion, the Bible does not give us his name, but he was used to giving orders, and he was used to people following those orders. Would you, in closing, go back to Luke chapter number 7, because I want to bring your attention to just a couple of thoughts here as we will be dismissing just very soon. As we come back to Luke chapter number 7, I want you to notice some things about this centurion. Now, I said to you in the beginning that God loves all of us. But God loves those today that are veterans. He loves you. You know, when I find in Luke chapter number 7, I find that God loved this man. He loved him. In fact, would you notice some things? By the way, we find what others said about this man, but then we find out what God said about this man. And folks, people can say a lot of great things about you, but the only thing that matters is what God says about you. You see, people can say, that's a good man, or that's a good lady, or they're a moral person. Wonderful. But what does God say about you? Does God say, that is someone who has put their faith and trust in me? That is someone who is trusting me and me alone for their salvation. That is someone that can say, in God, I trust. In God, I trust. Folks, if you're trusting in yourself, if you're trusting in your church or your religion or your baptism, may I say to you, you do not trust in God. You see, our nation was built on this very principle of in God we trust. It is God who gives us the victory, but it is God who has provided us not only our personal freedom, but He has provided us spiritual freedom. Notice back in Luke chapter number 7, and I want you to notice some things about this man. Verse number 2 says this, "And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die." Now, I want you to think about this man. Here is this centurion, no doubt wealthy, no doubt a man of great power, and yet he was a man of compassion. He was a man who said, I've got a servant. I mean, think of that. Someone, not another soldier, a servant. He said, and I love this servant, and he's sick. He's getting ready to die. I want to do something to help my servant. Think of that man. Now, listen, he is a great veteran, because he was a man that knew duty. He was a man that was a servant to other people. Here was a man who was a servant to his servant. He cared about him. We read on here, and the Bible tells us that we go on in this passage, and it says in verse number 5, the people are talking about this centurion, and he says this. And in fact, let's look in verse number 4. It says, "And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying," now here's what they say about this man, "that he was worthy for whom he should do this." Now, what took place in this matter was the centurion sent people to Jesus Christ. And he sent them to bring Jesus back to heal this servant. And the people that he sent said, "Jesus, I want to tell you something. This centurion is a good man. This centurion is a man who loves us and cares for us." In fact, verse number 5 says, he built us a synagogue. You know what he did? He built him a church. He built him a place where they could worship God. And listen, this man had faith. He believed. And he said, this man's a good man. And that's what they said about this. Look here. It really doesn't matter what others say about us. I do believe that we should have a good reputation. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But folks, what does God say about you? Look here, God looks upon this building here today, and God looks upon us, and I believe that God could say, there's my child. There's one who's put their faith and trust in me. There's my child. They've been my child for many years. But I believe that God would have to look upon many of us here today and say, there is a person, I love them. I gave my son for them, but they have not believed in me. They have not put their faith and trust in me. They're trusting in themselves. They're trusting in their religion. They're trusting in what they can do. And the Lord would say that about some of us here today. But folks, God loves you. And God has made a way for you to spend eternity with Him. Let's read on here. The Bible goes on to say, it says in verse number 6, then Jesus went with them. And when He was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to Him, saying unto Him, Lord, trouble not Thyself, for I am not worthy that Thou shouldest enter under my roof. Now look, the people said, He's worthy. But guess what the man said about himself? I am not worthy. You see, the man said, God, I am not worthy that You step Your foot into my house. You know what the man recognized? He recognized, I'm a sinner. I do not deserve to be in holiness. I do not deserve to be in such righteousness. I am not worthy. And the Bible goes on to say this. Notice what it says in verse number 7. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, He marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed Him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. You know what the man was saying? He was saying, Jesus, I'm not worthy that You come into my house. In fact, I didn't think it was worthy for me even to come to You. And that's why I sent people to You. And this man recognized the power of an almighty God. He recognized that he could trust God. He recognized that God had all authority and power, because he said, Jesus, I am a centurion. I'm a man who has soldiers under me, and I say, hey, go do this. And they have to do it. They are bound to do it. And he recognized that. He said, Jesus, I believe that You are able to do anything. I believe that You are able to say in a word, and my servant will be healed. And folks, today I want you to know that there is a same God in heaven that centurion knew that day. And that same God in heaven, if you will come to Him by faith, and you will trust in Him by faith, He will save you, and He will give you eternal life in heaven. Folks, today, God loves veterans. He loves each and every one of us here this morning. You see, today, as we think of the American soldier, we're reminded of duty. But it is your duty to repent and to turn to Jesus Christ. We're reminded that the soldier is a servant. But I want you to see the greatest servant of all, and that is Jesus Christ, who willingly gave His life for you. But we notice faith in God, and we all have faith in something. And this morning, I beg of you to turn and look to Jesus Christ. He is the only answer. Listen, it's not what I can do. It's what Jesus can do for me. Listen, I cannot save myself and I cannot save you. But when I look to Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. That's when we receive salvation full and free. And then we notice, in God we trust. Oh, today, God loves the veteran. Let's bow our heads in prayer.